Good morning, church family. What a great Lord's Day we had yesterday. Thank you, Robin, feeding us well from Job, and Andre and Joel and your teams leading us richly in song while we are confined. I'm so thankful we can still be encouraged and blessed with these helpful technologies and inferior but temporary means by which we can still stay a little connected with one another and hear God's word, sing God's word, read God's word, pray God's word. And well, here's my next little prison epistle from our times of confinement. What a rich heritage we have of many epistles from the Apostle Paul and his far worse confinement, persecution. But when we are limited, God's word is unlimited, right? And I wanted to read to you from the main tool I've been using throughout this study of Psalm 119 and have used over many years from one of my professors at Master's Seminary, Dr. George Zimmick, The Word of God and the Child of God, a whole study just on Psalm 119. He was is an expert in the Hebrew and a lover of God's word. As we come to this next stanza, the Lamed stanza, stanza number 11, verses 89 to 96, Dr. Zimmick says, "After climbing up steeply through some very forbidding terrain, the spiritually cramping muscles of the man of God have been pushed seemingly beyond their limit." We've been through some intense previous stanzas, haven't we? "And they are in desperate need of the kind of rest that only stable ground can provide. Some sure-footed territory is discovered now on the firm high plateau of these next two stanzas, the Lamed and the Mem, or Mem stanzas. There, he finds respectively both rest and refreshment prior to another taxing descent, which will take him through yet more of life's crags, caves, and crevices." He says of this stanza here that we're looking at, the major themes are the person of God, the permanence of his word, the preservation of his universe, and the perseverance of his children. Can you think of a time in your lifetime, even our oldest dear saints in our church family, ever a time where your future was more uncertain in earthly terms than it is at present with all that's going on? What better time to turn to a section in God's word, to turn to the infallible, unchanging, sure word of God? And I've entitled this section, Great Certainties. Great Certainties. We're going to look at two certainties the child of God can always count on. First, the first three verses, divine stability, and then divine sufficiency. Look first of all at divine stability. Notice we'll see both the stability, the certainty, the fixed and stable standing nature of God's general revelation in nature and creation, and then the main theme of this whole psalm, his special revelation. God's word, God's two books, as we say, from Psalm 19, the book of his world, and then supremely the book of his word. Look at verse 89. "Forever, O Lord," not temporarily, not occasionally, but "always, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Firm, unalterably fixed. This idea, it comes in all of the next three verses, settled, stands, is standing. As untouchable and unshakable as heaven itself, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands, it endures forever, it lasts, it outlasts all else. Verse 90, "Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Our forefathers knew it, who served the Lord. Our grandchildren and great-grandchildren will know it and declare it if the Lord tarries. You establish the earth and it stands," verse 91. "They stand," seems to be referring to creation, the heavens and the earth. "They stand this day according to your ordinances." God's world is stable because his word is stable. He spoke the universe into existence in a mere 6 days. And by the same brilliant, orderly mind of the maker, the almighty creator, by his same all-powerful, all-wise plan and genius, his world stands and his word stands. He did it all through his voice. Verse 91 concludes, "For all things are your servants." Child of God, are you sure that all means all? We know it does, but do you believe it? It's one of the Bible's best brief summaries of the absolute sovereignty of God? Can we, in our heart of hearts, when no one else is watching, not for others to hear, but before the Lord, can we sincerely pray, Sovereign Lord, COVID-19 is your servant. It will do your will. As we learned from Job last night, you have to give permission. You rule. You reign. Lord, also the media reaction, the economic impact, whatever unfolds in the coming days and years, serves you, and therefore serves me if I'm your child. It works for my good, my spiritual growth, and for your glory and the advance of your kingdom in this world, and your wise and good and loving plan for those who are your own. Divine stability. And then the second section, verse 92 to 96, more briefly, divine sufficiency. Zooming in back on special revelation. Verse 92, if your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. Beloved, when lockdown is over, in the coming months and years, when you look back and think, how did we make it through the COVID-19 crisis? My prayer is that this one verse will sum up your answer. If your law had not been my delight, I wouldn't have made it. Verse, and make sure you're journaling, by the way, during these tough times. It ought to be a spiritual habit of every Christian, so you can look back later with thankfulness and see what the Lord taught you and how his word sustained you. And think of this upcoming Passion Week as we prepare for Easter. Remember our Lord's sufferings and his road to Calvary for our sin and for our salvation. How did he make it through the worst affliction any man has ever seen, even worse than Job? God's law was Jesus' delight. Look at him, even in his anguish on the cross, quoting the Psalms. And you wondered if the book of Psalms was relevant or practical. Verse 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. These rich and recurring themes in Psalm 119, remembering, reviving, not just through emotions or human opinions or man-made programs or pills or therapists, through your precepts, your word. Verse 94, I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. 1 Corinthians comes to mind. Why are ethics and morality so different from the world? You're not your own. You've been bought with the price, the blood of Jesus. That defines who we are. Love that catechism answer that says, I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. John Calvin had a personal emblem, a kind of seal and a motto that shaped his life. It was a picture of a flaming heart held in a pair of hands with this inscription, my heart I offer to you, Lord, promptly and sincerely. Verse 95, the wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. Fierce enemies, once again, hostile persecution, ongoing threats to his life. But instead of self-pity or sense of entitlement or victimization, he says, your word is my focus. If they are that devoted to kill me, I need to be even more devoted to your word to keep me alive spiritually. Final verse, 96. I've seen a limit to all perfection. Everything else in this world, Lord, is fallible and failing and limited, but not your word. He says, your commandment is exceedingly broad. It applies to everything. It touches on all things. It is always relevant. He who is married to the spirit of the age soon becomes a widower, it's been said. To be always relevant, you must say things that are eternal. God's word alone has that sufficiency. Listen to this final prayer. Let's make this our prayer. Please bow with me. Forever, Lord, your word shall stand, unchanging word of thine, sealed in the heavens by thy hand, unfailing law divine. Had not thy word been my delight when earthly joys were fled, my soul, oppressed with sorrow's weight, had sunk amongst the dead. Thus I shall love thy gospel more and not forget thy word, for I have felt its quickening power to draw me near the Lord. Now I am thine, forever thine. O keep thy servant, Lord. Thou art my shield, my hiding place, my hope, is in thy word. Amen.